Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Terrorism continues to strike fear in the hearts of the peoples of the world. Terrorist attacks in Iraq this week killed several more people. People handcuffed and bullets found in their bodies. The people of Israel must live their lives looking over their shoulders, wondering where the next suicide bomber will strike as well. The Palestinians live in fear, wondering where the Israelis will strike next and retaliating against Palestinian terrorists. President Bush is on the campaign stump this week giving speeches, apprising the citizens of the United States how important the war in Iraq is in the war against terrorism. Iraqi President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made it clear during the past week that Iran would continue to pursue uranium enrichment, which is a major step in producing nuclear weapons. Of course, there are a lot of people who say that Iran already possesses nuclear weapons. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan made a visit to Tehran this past week to try to persuade Iranian leaders to cooperate with the international community. But at the scheduled press conference with Annan and Ahmadinejad, scheduled to field questions from reporters, Ahmadinejad did not even show up. He snubbed Kofi Annan, Secretary General of the UN. The U.S. and the EU are talking about imposing harsh economic sanctions against Iran if they don't give up their pursuit of a nuclear enrichment, but Russia has warned them not to impose sanctions. So as we've emphasized in recent programs, there is a continuing divide between East and West, with Russia and China siding with the rogue nations of the East. The tension among nations of the world increases with each passing day, and eventually the trip string will be broken. But even if the geopolitical situation were not filled with tension, the moral decline of the U.S. would eventually destroy our moral fabric and our will to do that which is right. Every night on U.S. television, sick sitcoms are aired that are filled with gross sexual innuendos, and far more skin is revealed on any given night on U.S. television than probably in a year of broadcasting in the 1950s. Where is the cry for what is happening to our culture and our moral standards and our cherished values on a day-in and day-out basis? We're in that period of time prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 59, verse 12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us." Now, what are transgressions? Transgressions are the breaking of God's moral, immutable, spiritual law. And as far as our iniquities, we know them. Yes, we really know deep down that the things that we're doing are not right. In transgressing and lying against the eternal and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Yes, the good guy today is the one that is made fun of, the person who stands up for that which is right. He is labeled as one who is intolerant. He is labeled as one who is not loving and kind. And the argument is made, well, God loves all of his children, and so he does, and not willing that any should perish. But at the same time, God has said, "He who says he knows me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's in 1 John 2:4, the Apostle John writing, the Apostle of Love. "He who says he knows him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Yes, as Isaiah writes here in Isaiah 59:12 and through 15, and this is verse 15, Yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Eternal saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. We're being assaulted on every front, yet no one cries aloud, no one sighs and cries for the gross abominations that are destroying our will to fight the good fight of faith. Note what the prophet Isaiah admonished us to do. In Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yes, in the days that lie ahead, those who are really going to be protected from the wrath that is sure to come, because God is not going to stand by idly forever, the day of God's vengeance is going to come, and that vengeance will be upon the wicked, those who will not keep his commandments. The prophet Ezekiel writes in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4, and God said to him, pass through the midst of the city in the midst of Jerusalem, and mark a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and who are mourning over all the abominations that are done in the midst. The King James translation has that, those who sigh and cry for the abominations. And he said to those in my hearing, pass over in the city after him and strike. Do not let your eyes spare, and do not have pity. Slay old men, choice men, virgins and children and women, all to destruction, but to every man who has a mark on him, do not come near him. And begin from my sanctuary, and they began with the old men who were before the house. Who was spared? Those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are going on. We're being systematically conditioned to accept the gross immorality that is stealing the hearts and minds of our people. The warfare that is being waged today is not limited to any certain battlefield. They talk about the war against terrorism is not limited to any certain battlefield, to any nation, that it is a worldwide, international endeavor and phenomenon. And the warfare that is being waged against our people is not just the war of terrorists who are striking in different points on the face of the globe. The war that is being waged by Satan the devil is a universal war, and it encompasses every facet of human endeavor. It is spiritual warfare at the highest levels. The war is being fought in the streets, in the homes, and in the hearts and minds of the peoples of the world. The enemy lurks on every street and in every home, and the enemy seeks to take up residence in your heart and mind. The war is thus not just physical, though it is physical in some aspects, but it is also mental, social, moral, and spiritual. Your being is being in constant peril and subject to being destroyed at any moment. The social fabric of the peoples of the Western world is being ripped apart by the craze for sensual fulfillment. Families are falling apart, and there are very few role models for the youth to emulate. And those that they do emulate are the ones who are generally wind up in some kind of terrible kinds of trouble that stem from their lifestyle. Mentally, the peoples of the world are anxiously stressed because of the many complexities of living in the so-called postmodern world. A simple trip to the grocery store can be very stressful and nerve-wracking, an experience that might wind up with all kinds of consequences. The traditional values that shaped our culture for decades are under constant attack in the name of tolerance and equal rights. But equal opportunity is not the only objective of some of the counterculture groups. They not only want equal rights, they want their behavior to be accepted as being just as good as any other lifestyle. We're seeing the prophecy in the book of Isaiah fulfilled right before our eyes. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if it were a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as death, because they have cast away the law of the Eternal of Hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. When we speak about moral issues, we are talking really about spiritual issues. And notice one of the things that Isaiah prophesies is that they cast the law of God away from them. If each person is left to decide for himself what is right and what is wrong, society will fall apart. We will be at the mercy of what each person thinks is right in his own eyes. There have been times in human history in which the societal structure collapsed in the wake of gross immorality, with each person doing what is right in his own eyes. So who has the authority to determine what is right and what is wrong? Philosophers have written volumes on the subject of good and evil, and when all is said and done, most of them agree to the moral principles contained in the Ten Commandments of the Bible. The question of who decides what is good and what is evil goes to the very heart of the question concerning why God created human beings in the first place and why we're here on the earth. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will continue to explore this question of who decides what is good and what is evil, and what is the greatest threat to our society today. If you would really like to understand what is going on in our world today in all facets of human endeavor, then you need to subscribe to our monthly, bi-monthly publication, The Good News Magazine. The Good News Magazine is published bi-monthly. It is a magazine of understanding that will help you understand what is really happening in our world today. It addresses the great issues that are facing the peoples of the world. You can receive a free subscription to this magazine by calling our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And at the same time, we will send you our free Bible study course that will take you through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and help you to understand who God is, what is his purpose, and who man is, what is man's purpose, why are you here on the earth, and you will discover that you were born for a great transcendental purpose to rule and reign with God and Christ in the kingdom of God. Yes, peace is coming to this earth. God is going to send Jesus Christ and the saints to this earth and restore his government over the face of the earth. And the Prince of Peace will reign and rule from Jerusalem with the saints. And the word of God and the law of God shall go forth from Jerusalem and Zion. And the nations will beat their swords into plowshares. And they will learn the way of peace. And they will not wage war anymore. So for this free literature, just call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. So what is the greatest threat to Western civilization, and for that matter, for the whole world? It has to do with the moral and spiritual questions of the ages, and one of the great moral and spiritual questions of the ages is what is good and what is evil, and who determines what is good and what is evil. God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to look to him for moral and spiritual knowledge, but Satan the devil came along and deceive them and seduce them into obeying him and deciding for themselves what is good and what is evil. So God drove them out of the Garden of Eden and denied them access to the tree of life, which symbolizes the Spirit of God, the only thing that can bridge the great gulf between our mortality and immortality. No, we do not have immortal souls. We must receive the Spirit of God so that we can have eternal life abiding within us. Jesus Christ eventually was sent to this earth, and through Jesus Christ our sins can be forgiven, we can be reconciled to God, and once again have access to the tree of life, the Spirit of God, that eternal life that comes from God alone. The so-called enlightened intelligentsia of the world teaches that humans evolved from a lower species. In effect, they teach there is no God, that humans are the highest life form in the universe, and there are no moral absolutes. But of all the questions that evolutionists have not been able to answer, they cannot answer the question of why did evolution stop? Why aren't the other mammals on the world, in the world today, evolving to, quote, a higher species? And why aren't humans continuing to evolve into some kind of higher life form, especially when it comes to the great moral and spiritual issues of the day? Why are humans still filled with greed and selfishness? And why do humans want their own way? And why are they so mercilessly killing one another? The simple answer is, concerning why the evolutionary process doesn't continue, is that evolution is not true, and the two greatest laws of biology continue as from the beginning, that is, life comes from life, and kind begets kind. In view of the current moral climate in the Western world, it is ironic that the moral structure of the Western world was founded on the principles found in the Christian Bible, because today the Bible and the principles and the values and the commandments that are contained therein are under constant attack. Christians have historically held up the Ten Commandments as the summary of the moral code for humankind. Yet, ironically, most preachers today preach a dual message. On the one hand, they preach that all you have to do is believe in Christ and his redemptive work on the cross, and you will be saved. They teach that Christ kept the commandments for you, then all you have to do is to believe in him and his righteousness, and then that will be imputed to you. In effect, they're saying that repentance does not involve turning from sin and keeping the commandments of God. In fact, they are in effect saying that keeping the commandments are not necessary for salvation. Yet the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, and you can read this in Acts 2:38, when the day that the Holy Spirit was sent, that life from God that bridges the gulf between mortality and immortality, was asked the question after he had preached in Acts 2:37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responded in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So receiving that gift of eternal life is conditioned upon repentance. What does repentance mean? Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoeo, which means after knowledge, then what? So after you understand that you are a sinner, how are you going to be justified? You are justified through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But Christ did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us out of our sins, and we have to turn from our sins. On the one hand, they say, that is, the preachers of the land, we should keep the commandments in return for what Christ has done for us. And that would be a good reason, but it's more involved than that. Their message is mixed and muddled. So what is the truth of the matter? It is true that commandment keeping will never save you in and of itself. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then in Romans 6:23 he writes, "The wages of sin is death." Now, the wages of sin is death. That is the second death, as you can read about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. And from this death, this second death, there is no resurrection, and there is no consciousness, and there is no life. We're told in Matthew 10:28 to fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna fire. And the incorrigibly wicked will be destroyed in Gehenna fire. Yes, there is a real hell fire, but it will not torment the, quote, souls of human beings forever and ever. You are a soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. And soul has to do with life potential. And God, through Jesus Christ, is the only one who can give you eternal life. The only way that sin can be atoned for is through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And faith without works is dead. In other words, faith apart from obedience is dead. You can't just say that I believe and not repent and be willing to obey the immutable spiritual law of God. Faith in the sacrifice of Christ pays for the sins that are past. Note how clearly the Apostle Paul states this in Romans 3:25. Whom God hath set forth, the whom is Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Note carefully, faith in the sacrifice of Christ pays for the sins that are past. No amount of commandment keeping could possibly pay the price for sin, because the wages of sin is death. Therefore, someone had to die to pay for sin. Christ died in your place, so you would not have to die. But what about the future? Are you now free to go in sin since you've been justified by the sacrifice of Christ? And does the sacrifice of Christ do away with the law of God? Somehow the preachers of the day have been deceived into teaching that Christ is the minister of sin by stating that his sacrifice does away with the law. It is true that commandment keeping cannot save you, but on the other side of the question is, can you be saved and refuse to obey God's immutable spiritual law? And the answer is, no, you can't. Justification has to do with paying the price for the sins of the past. Only faith in the sacrifice of Christ can accomplish that. Amazingly, the Apostle Paul knew that some might get the idea that since one is justified, apart from the deeds of the law, that this does away with the law. And at the same time, really, you can't have faith in the sacrifice of Christ unless you're willing to humble yourself and submit to him and obey him. So Paul closes the loophole by stating in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then he writes in Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? No, not but by the law of faith. But see, faith without works is dead. Are you willing to repent, surrender, and submit to God and obey him? Faith in simplest terms means to believe God and do what he says. He goes on to say, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles or the other nations as well. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. Yea, we establish the law. How do you establish the law? Because if the law were not in effect, there would be no need for Jesus Christ to come and die for the sins of the world. Because the wages of sin is death, and you are cut off from God when you're in your sins, and the only way you can get back and be reconciled is through the faith in Jesus Christ and turning from your sin. So, because you do that, you go through that process of conversion, you establish the fact that God's immutable spiritual law still exists, and that the wages of sin is death, and the only way out is through Jesus Christ and obedience to him. I wondered if you have ever really focused on these verses. Start in Romans 3:23 and go to the end of the chapter. Read them for yourself. The immutable spiritual law of God stands forever. Yet the peoples of the world are rushing to and fro, ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Note what the Apostle Paul writes concerning the last days of this age in 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And surely we are living in perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. How do you deny the power thereof? by refusing to conform to what God says to do, to be transformed into the image of His dear Son. For of this sort are they which are creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can know the truth, and the truth can set you free from fear, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of men. There's a great loving Creator God, our Father, the one who created us in the first place, the one who gives us life and breath. Our Heavenly Father deeply desires that you have a relationship with Him, that you be in His family, that you rule and reign with God and Christ and the saints in the kingdom of God. God looks down on the sons of men at this most critical, crucial period in human history. He is grieved at what He sees and what He hears. He is grieved by the way that we're treating each other. He is grieved at the gross blindness and ignorance that is cast on the hearts and minds of the peoples of the world. He is grieved at all the suffering that is extant in the world, and He is going to intervene. Just as He did in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, the peoples of the world were in a similar situation as the peoples of the world are in today. In Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented him. He was sorry at heart that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Eternal said, He will destroy man from the face of the earth, both man and beast. But Noah found grace in the sight of God, and 8 persons were saved from that flood. The question of the hour is, what about you? Will you find grace in the eyes of the Lord when He begins to intervene in the affairs of humankind at the end of this age? The 6th seal of the book of Revelation provides us with a graphic description of what is going to happen as God in Christ begins to intervene in the affairs of this world. Revelation 6:12, And I beheld when He had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as sackcloth, black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig cast her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For this great day of His wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? Will you be able to stand in that great time? You can, if you will, start right now. Open the pages of your Bible, call for our free literature, and begin that great journey toward eternal life and the kingdom of God. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. We'll send you the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will help you understand what is going on in the world today. And we will send you our free Bible study course, a course that will take you from Genesis to Revelation. You'll come to understand the plan and purpose of God and why you were created. And be sure to be tuned to this same station next week for World News and Prophecy.